Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for High Velocity Radio.
Lee Cantor here, another episode of High Velocity Radio, and this is going to be a good one. Today we have with us Michelle Seiler Tucker with Seiler Tucker Incorporated. Welcome, Michelle.
Thank you, Lee. Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, I'm excited to learn what you're up to. How are you serving folks over there at Seiler Tucker?
I'm serving them with integrity, authenticity, education, helping business owners realize that there's a better way to sell their business, you know, how to plan their exit and how to build their infrastructure. And then, of course, we also help buyers buy the business of their dreams.
So how'd you get into this line of work?
So I've been in mergers and acquisitions for about 20 years. Before this, I did franchise sales, franchise consultant, franchise development. I own several different businesses. I kind of transferred from franchise into selling companies because I had so many clients that didn't want to buy a franchise. And so that's kind of what made me transition into selling companies. And then very quickly, I learned that what Steve Forbes says is true, that 80% of businesses don't sell. So I learned, gosh, if I don't fix them, grow them, build them to sell, I'm probably going to starve to death. So that's why I started getting involved into fixing businesses, growing businesses, putting business owners on a build to sell program. So we really specialize in buying, selling, fixing, growing.
So then what is kind of the profile of the businesses you like to work with?
So we're industry agnostic, but we do have a lot of buyers for manufacturing, staffing, anything healthcare related, you know, business services, transportation, distribution. My typical sweet spot is businesses that sell for $10 million and up, but we do have a team of analysts and brokers that can handle, you know, that work on smaller transactions, but you know, my sweet spot is $2 million and up in purchase price.
So now, through this practice, you decided to write a book. Can you talk about your book, Exit Rich?
Sure. So Exit Rich is actually my third book. I wrote my first book in 2013 called Sell Your Business for More Than It's Worth. The reason I wrote Exit Rich is because, you know, I travel all over the United States working with clients, selling their business, fixing their businesses, growing their businesses, selling their businesses. And I started noticing that I would see a business in a strip center, and then the next week or next month, it's gone. So I started doing research because back in 2013, when I did research, I realized that, you know, 95% of businesses won't sell startups in that first 1 to 5 years. But then when I wrote Exit Rich and did the same research, I learned that the business landscape has really changed dramatically. So it's actually flip-flop. Only 30% of startups are at risk of going out of business. Were out of 27.6 million companies, those businesses that have been in business for 10 years or longer, 70% of those businesses will go out of business. 70. You hear, you know, about the big public companies all the time, like Toys R Us, been in business 75 years, goes out of business. GNC is closing down 900 locations. Montgomery Ward, Stein Mart, out of business. Pier 1 is out of business. Godiva Chocolate is closing down 500 locations. But what you're not hearing about are all the private businesses. And these businesses, unfortunately, are not exiting rich. They're exiting poor. And they end up selling for pennies on the dollar, closing their business, or going out of business altogether and filing bankruptcy. And so that's why I wrote Exit Rich, so I could help business owners really plan their exit from day one of beginning or buying a business. And really build your business on the 6 P's, which is the infrastructure, so that you build a sellable asset that somebody actually wants to buy. The reason 80% of businesses don't sell is because business owners are not planning their exit. They don't think about selling until a catastrophic event has occurred, whether that's internal or external. Internal meaning health issues, divorce, death, partners disputes, external COVID. That's really the worst time to sell your business because your business is typically trending downward and not doing well. Best time to sell your company is when it's in its prime. So we really work with those clients to get their business ready and make sure that the business owner is building a business that somebody actually wants to buy.
Now, in your experience dealing with business owners, is this something that you find that the business owner in their head thinks, oh, I'll be able to sell this, and so I got everything, everything's fine until it's not fine? Or is it something that they're just oblivious and they're not even thinking about exiting? They're just going boldly forward and think, well, when I can sell it whenever I want, it's not, I don't have to prepare for it. Doing what I'm doing is enough.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, most business owners are not thinking about the future. They're thinking about the here and now. They're thinking about today and what's happening today and how, you know, how do they, because most business owners are so busy working in their business, they really have not really created a business. They've created a glorified job and we should go to work at every day versus a business that actually works for them. So I think they just get caught up in a day-to-day task and the chaos that they don't really think about it. You know, in most cases, it doesn't even cross their mind until something happens or they become burned out and they just don't want to do it anymore. I just talked to a client the other day that says, I was so burned out, Michelle, I just had to close my doors. I couldn't do it. And we're really trying to prevent business owners from getting to that stage to where you can't continue to run your business because you're so miserable and so burned out. We really want to work with business owners to help them plan that exit from the beginning.
Now, is that really kind of one of the problems in some of these small to mid-sized businesses is, like you said, they're so focused on the chaos of today, they're not looking down the road to the exit, number one, so that they're not putting in place all of these kind of milestones and a roadmap to exit. They're just kind of, it's like the duck. It looks like it's fine above the water, but beneath the water, it's paddling like crazy just to stay afloat. Is that?
Absolutely. I mean, business owners don't have a roadmap. You know, business owners don't plan to fail. They fail to plan. And they have, you know, I always tell my business owners, follow the GPS exit model. Create a plan, create an exit plan. What's step one in the plan? Step one in a plan is when you want to drive somewhere, what's the first thing you do? You pull out your phone, you go to Google Maps and you plug in your...
Well, you got to know where you want to end up. I mean,
right.
You can't just start driving in a direction and hope you find it.
And that's what's going on with business owners. They're driving around and around and around in circles, driving up and down the financial hills, ending up nowhere, ending up selling for pennies on a dollar, closing their business, or filing bankruptcy. And that's the problem. They don't have a plan. They don't have a roadmap. So, you know, I map it out in my book where I tell my business owners, number one, you need a destination. You need to know where you're going. Figure out your end game. What is your desired sales price? What do you want to sell your business for? Pick a number. Doesn't matter what the number is, just pick it. So, you know, let's say that you want to sell for $20 million. Great. Now we have a starting place. Now the GPS exit model needs to know not only where are you going, but where are you starting from? What's your current location? What's your current evaluation? What is your business worth today? And you'd be surprisingly, you know, most business owners have no idea what their business is worth. As humans go to doctors, we get a physical checkup. We make sure that our body is in good condition. We drive a car to the mechanic to get a physical, to get a checkup and tune up on our car. But most business owners have never, ever had evaluation on their business. It's shocking. And not only should they have a valuation, but they should have an annual valuation checkup because there are events that increase valuations and there are events that decrease valuation. So every year you want to know what your business is worth. So let's say your income is $20 million. Today you're worth $5 million. Well, now we have a start of a plan. The next thing you need to know is duration, timing. How long do you want to do this for? So let's say your time frame is 10 years. The next thing you need to know is who's my buyer's going to be. And notice I say buyers, not buyer. You never want to have all your eggs in one buyer's basket because in all likelihood, that buyer is never going to come to fruition. Your deal is not going to close. So you always want to have buyers. Plus, if you have one buyer, you'll never maximize value. So you want to make sure you have buyers and you want to create that bidding war. So you need to know what type of buyers. There's five different types of buyers. So you need to know which buyers will be the right fit for your business. So if you're trying to sell for $20 million, it's not going to be a first-time buyer because first-time buyers buy small businesses. That's all they can afford. Turnaround specialists buy distressed assets, so it won't be a turnaround specialist. So the buyer for your $20 million company will be either a PEG, which is a private equity group, a strategic, slash competitor, which these buyers buy synergies, or a serial entrepreneur who's industry agnostic and they chase cash flow. So those are your five types of buyers. And then, Lee, you need to know, well, where's my financials need to be? If I want to sell my business for $20 million, where's the gross revenues need to be? Profit margins, most importantly, EBITDA. EBITDA is earnings before interest, taxes, depreciation, and amortization. So your EBITDA needs to be at least between $3 million to $5 million, depending upon your synergies in which to sell for the $20 million purchase price. And then the last component of that is, what is the criteria? What are the synergies that buyers are looking for? And then build that business based upon the six P's, so you can build to suit for your, for these buyers' specific needs. And then most importantly, you need your why. You know, why do you want to sell your business for $20 million? If it was easy, everybody would be doing it. So the why keeps you motivated, keeps you in the game, keeps you weathering all the financial storms. That's the GPS exit model that I take my clients down.
So now when you're working with a client, are they coming to you like 5-10 years out away from the exit, or are they just, you know, kind of having you come in and do an evaluation so they can see where they're at on this roadmap? Like, what is your relationship with these, the firms you work with?
Yeah. So we're really trying to educate business owners and explain to them that you really should start, you know, 5-10 years ahead of time so that you can build that roadmap. But most business owners don't come to us that early on. Most business owners will come to us, you know, want to sell. Either they want to sell right away because something tragic is happening. You know, maybe they were diagnosed with cancer. I mean, that happens all the time. Or divorce, or, you know, a death of a partner. So a lot of times they come to us and they're in a hurry. They really need to sell the business right away. But then there's other times where they, you know, really want to sell in 1 to 2 years, maybe 1 to 3 years. We typically never get anybody that's 5 to 10 years out.
And that's too bad, right? That's what you would prefer,
isn't
it? That
is too bad. And that's what we're working on, to educate entrepreneurs that you really need to start early. And that's why I wrote Exit Rich, so that we could educate them that you don't want to wait to the last minute. And a year's not enough time. I mean, by the time we do the valuation, by the time we fix the business, because I can guarantee you, most businesses are not running on all six cylinders, all six P's. So we have to fix the business as we go. So by the time we fix it, we get it ready to go to market, we package it, we do the valuation. I mean, that could be a year right there.
And then what's the kind of the downside? If they're rushing this, like, how much money are they really leaving on the table by not being more proactive about this?
Yeah, they're actually leaving a lot of money on the table, because the best way to maximize your the value of your business is two ways. Three ways. Number one, make sure you plan that exit and you know, have your desired sales price. Number two, the higher your EBITDA, the more buyers you will have. So it's really important to get your EBITDA over $1 million. That's the sweet spot where now we have competitors and strategics and sophisticated entrepreneurs and private equity groups that are now taking a look, because most of those buyers won't look at a business below $1 million in EBITDA. So when you get your business over $1 million in EBITDA, that we have a lot more buyers at that point, where we can create a structured auction, we can create a bidding war, we can get a lot more activity on a business when they're over $1 million in EBITDA. Then if they build that business to run on all six cylinders, which is building their synergies, then we can also bring a lot more buyers, because buyers want to buy good businesses. There's actually more buyers for good businesses than there are good businesses to buy. And buyers want to buy businesses that have over $1 million in EBITDA and operate on all six P's.
And then when they're working with you, these firms, is that like kind of you're going down your checklist and you're going, okay, we're going to work on this EBITDA problem. Your EBITDA is $500,000. So let's do what we can do, and you're helping them strategize on ways to increase that, or like what? How do you kind of consult with your clients?
Yeah, so absolutely. But let me just tell you something: lack of EBITDA, lack of profits is never the problem. Lack of profits, lack of EBITDA is a symptom of not running on one of the other five P's, and the other five P's is maybe the people. They don't have the right people in the right positions. The owner is too involved in the business, and the business can't run without the owner. Or maybe their product is in a dying industry versus a thriving industry. Or their processes are not efficient and productive, which is causing them waste and causing them to lose money. Or they haven't protected their IP, their proprietary, and they really haven't built out those proprietary assets. And then Patreons, you know, a lot of times business owners struggle and lose money because they have customer concentration versus customer diversification. So profits is never, lack of profits is never the problem. It's always a symptom of not operating on one of the other five P's. So we go back through from the beginning to make sure that they're solid on each P because we have to find out where the problem is.
And then, so that's what you're doing is you're kind of stress testing each of those P's to see which ones are working good enough and which ones need help.
Absolutely. And I would tell you, Lee, that most business owners don't run on all six P's. Most business owners run on maybe two or three. Even the larger businesses. You know, we're selling a larger business in the $60 million range and they don't even have policy and procedure manuals.
That's pretty shocking. I mean, like,
listen, there are so many things I could tell you that will make your head spin.
Well, I mean, it's just how do you can generate that much revenue and not have kind of a system is pretty impressive.
Yeah, they got systems in place, but they don't really have them well documented. And that's the problem because when buyers come in to buy a $60 million business, the first thing they're going to do in due diligence is go through all of your policy and procedure manuals with a fine-tooth comb. They want to look at those non-competes, employee handbooks, SLP checklists, policy and procedure manuals. They want to make sure everything's intact. So that's what we do with our clients. Again, you know, lack of profits is not the problem. It's a symptom of the other five P's.
Now, when you're working with these firms, when you're first having conversations and you're having these kind of discovery between you and the firm that you're working with, do you find that the entrepreneur just overestimates the value of their company like dramatically, or are they usually pretty good at kind of knowing what the worth is of their company?
Most of them overvalue their business. Most of them, when they think about value, they don't really think about what's the value of my business. They associate value with what they need to exit their business. So they come to me and say, well, I need $10 million. That's what I want to sell my business for. I think $10 million. I'm like, well, how'd you come up with that number? And basically it's what they need to retire on. Or it's what they need to pay for five girls' colleges and five girls' weddings or what they need to buy another business with. So most business owners are unrealistic when it comes to the value of their business. And most business owners, many business owners think that their business baby, because they think their business is their baby. And they think their baby is prettier than any other baby. So it's our job to tell them, your baby is not as pretty as you think it is. And it's not worth this. And these are the reasons why. So very seldom does any business owner undervalue the business. Most of the time, they have unrealistic expectations. Because again, they base it upon what they need, not what the business is actually worth.
Now, when you tell them this, are they just like, I don't believe you, and then that's kind of where your relationship ends? Or they kind of accept this tough love and say, look, then we got to figure out how to get that number up?
Yeah, no, it's not that they don't believe me because, you know, we really do educate and we take them through the processes of how we came up with that valuation. You know, we show them industry standards and business comps and all the different formulas that we use. And so it's not that they don't believe us, because they do. Once we educate them on the fact, they either have to make a decision. Do they want to sell for that price, or do they want to keep the business and fix and grow and then sell for their desired price tag? And then it depends upon what stage they're in. I mean, if they're, you know, 70 years old, you know, a lot of times they don't want to stay in it for the long haul because they're tired. So it just really depends upon what's going on in their life.
And then the bottom line to get the most out of a sale of no matter where they are is to have multiple buyers, right? Isn't that the critical thing to get some competition and some bidding?
Well, here's how you maximize sales price. Number one, have your EBITDA over a million. Number two, run your business on all six cylinders. Number three, find somebody, an expert like me, who, I mean, we have over 28,000 buyers in our database. And there's five different types of buyers. We work with all five. So you need to work with an advisor who knows, who can really look at your business and identify the synergies identify what makes your business unique, and then find the right buyers to bring to the table that are willing to pay more for those particular synergies. For instance, a company that's well-branded will sell for a lot more than a company that's not well-branded. A company that has trademarks in place, federal trademarks, and patents and contracts will sell for a lot more than a company that doesn't have it. A company that has databases of, you know, users. I mean, Facebook paid $19 billion for WhatsApp, and WhatsApp was losing money. They were hemorrhaging. And so, but Facebook knew they could monetize those billion users and make a return on their investment. So celebrity endorsements, product placements, you know, on e-commerce businesses. There's so many different synergies that an advisor really has to evaluate. That's why you got to make sure when you hire somebody with tons of experience who knows how to evaluate these synergies, who knows how to find the right buyer, the synergistic buyer that's willing to pay more money for those synergies, plus a buyer that can take advantage of economies of scale. And maybe because that buyer has, you know, operations, they can maybe cut cost because maybe they don't need the distribution centers of the company that they're buying because they already have distribution. So that's a cost that they can cut, which would increase EBITDA from day one of closing a business. So there's a lot of stuff that goes into it. You know, there's a lot of moving parts. You really have to know how to value these assets, these proprietary assets, and how to bring the right buyer to the table that's the best fit and is willing to pay the most.
And then for the folks that are trying to do this on their own, I would think that they're going to be leaving money on the table because you can tell at a glance what a buyer is going to want to see, and you can help them kind of shore up some weaknesses pretty quickly as opposed to just a person who's good at whatever their business is. They're not good at selling their business. They're good at selling their wares or their services or their products, but they're not. You're selling businesses and buying businesses every day. You know what these people are looking for and what can maximize the value. So, I mean, right. I think it's kind of short-sighted for folks to not at least entertain a conversation with an expert like you.
Well, exactly. Because, look, here's the bottom line. Your business is your most valuable asset. And you don't want to try to do it on your own. I mean, if you need heart surgery, are you going to cut open your chest, pull your heart out, and operate on yourself?
Yeah, you're not going to watch a YouTube video, you know.
Exactly. So you want to make sure, because look, in many cases, the business is the owner's most valuable asset. And this is their legacy. This is a retirement plan. This is their nest egg. So you don't want to take that lightly, and you don't want to leave money on the table. So you want to make sure that you have the right expert representing you. You never want to try to represent yourself, because business owners are experts at running their business. They're experts at handling their day-to-day, but they never have sold businesses before. So they don't know how to, you know, evaluate their business. They don't know how to get their business to run on all six cylinders, all six P's. You know, they don't know how to package their business. They don't know how to market it confidentially and attract buyers. Plus, many of them are not going to be good at negotiating on their business because they're too close to it.
Now, can you share a story maybe of somebody you work with that came in maybe with lower expectations and you were able to kind of blow them away? You don't have to name the name of the company or the individual, but just tell the story about how you were able to work with them and get kind of a good value for them when the sale happened.
Yeah. So we have lots and lots and lots of case studies, and we have lots of case studies on our website at silotucker.com. But one of the ones that comes to mind is an oil manufacturing business that we were selling. And they operated on, out of the six P's, they operated on all five, with the exception of Patrons. They had customer concentration, not customer diversification. So 65% of their revenues, 65 to 70, was tied up in the BP and BP and a BP contract. And we appraised that business in the $9.8 million range. EBITDA was, I want to say, right at $2 million. And we went to market. We had over 550 buyers who were interested in this particular business. We narrowed it down. We got 12 LOIs, letter of intents. We found a buyer that was very strategic, a strategic buyer that had similar products, similar services, but different, you know, not a competitor. And this buyer, most of the other buyers were very concerned and very wary of customer concentration. But this particular buyer wasn't. And the reason for that is because this particular buyer had been trying to get into BP for years with their products and services and never could get their foot in the door. So their thought process is, we buy this company, it's got 70%, 65, 70% of BP's contract, then we're going to be able to get our products and services in the door. Finally, we can get in front of BP. So that is a synergistic buy. That can catapult their business to the next level. Plus, because they were in a similar business, they were able to cut some overhead. But they ended up bidding $15 million on a company that priced for $9.8 million. That $15 million was for 70% of the business, not 100%. So for $15 million, 70% of the company, there were two owners, one retired, one stayed on, retaining 30% plus their salary. That's 126% over the appraised value.
Wow. That just shows you how important. You don't want to be kind of DIY when it comes to this. You got to have people smarter than you look at this, because this is not what you do every day. If you're looking to sell, you got to talk to an expert. It's too big of a kind of transaction to just do this on your own.
Right. Absolutely. And, you know, like I always say, focus on your strengths, hire your weaknesses. And, you know, it's almost impossible to do everything and be everything. And that's one of the biggest faults of entrepreneurs is entrepreneurs like to control. So they like to do everything. But you're never going to grow unless you let go of the control. And selling your business is just way too big of an asset to ever try to do this on your own. Or never hire a real estate agent to sell your business. That's another big mistake.
A real estate agent?
Yes.
People do that? You got to be kidding me.
No, I've seen so many business owners go to real estate agents because it's strange to me. I've been in this industry for 20 years, and I remember the first time I went to an association meeting, I was just flabbergasted that business brokering, M&A advising has been around for decades, but so many business owners don't know who we are and what we do. And they don't really understand.
Would you go to your car dealer to sell your house? Like,
exactly.
Why? That doesn't make any sense.
Makes no sense, right? Makes no sense.
That's crazy.
Yes, typically in the smaller businesses, you know, a lot of business owners will go to real estate agents. In the larger businesses, you know, those business owners are typically educated not to do that and to make sure that they have an expert mergers and acquisitions advisor.
Well, if somebody's out there that's thinking about selling, or at some point everybody's thinking they're going to have to sell at some point, what's the best way to get a hold of your books, to get a hold of maybe somebody on your team to have a more substantive conversation? What's the website?
Sure. So they can go to, so I'll give a couple websites. Our main website is SeilerTucker.com. That's SeilerTucker.com. And our phone number is there. Everything's there. They can call and have a conversation with any of my team members. And then depending upon the conversation, depending upon what the caller needs or what the entrepreneur needs, then they will schedule a meeting with me. They can also go to exitrichbook.com to buy Exit Rich. You know, and Exit Rich is not just for business owners thinking about selling their business. Exit Rich is all about, it's for anyone who owns a business or anyone who's starting a business or buying a business. Because it's not just about selling a business, it's actually about fixing your business so you actually have a sellable asset so it can be sustainable, scalable. And like I said, when you're ready, you can exit rich. So we're in pre-sales right now, but everybody can go to exitrichbook.com for $24.79. They will receive the digital download immediately, so they don't have to wait till the book launch. Plus, we will ship a hardcover to their doorstep. Plus, we will give them a lifetime membership into Exit Rich Book Club, where there's video content of me doing training into some of these techniques and strategies. Plus, there's documents. So a lot of times, owners will come to me and say, well, Michelle, I've never seen an employee handbook or non-compete or an organizational chart. So we have all of the documents that you need to run your business, plus the documents to sell your business. We have sample letter of intent, sample purchase agreements, sample due diligence checklist, sample closing docs. These documents will cost you over $25,000 if you went to your attorney to try to recreate. But they're available for you. for anyone who buys a book, not for just your review, but you can download them as well. And then we're also giving a 30-day membership to Club CEOs, which is a mastermind that I founded, where we do those hot seats, Q&As to really help entrepreneurs build a sustainable, scalable, and when they're ready, sellable company.
Well, Michelle, congratulations on all your success, and thank you for doing the work you're doing. It's so important. This is an area where a lot of entrepreneurs aren't maybe kind of focusing on having the end in mind, that you can really help them get the most out of their life's work. So we really appreciate you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you. Thank you so much for having me on. I wanted to give out one more number, if that was okay.
Sure, go ahead.
So all of your listeners can also text Michelle to 888-526-5750. And then all of my websites plus my social media will pop up. I encourage everyone to follow me and everyone to connect.
Well, thank you again, Michelle, for sharing your story today. And the website is SeilerTucker, SeilerTucker.com.
Right. And then they can also go to ExitRichBook.com.
All right.
Thank you, Lee. It's my pleasure.
All right. This is Lee Cantor. We will see you all next time on High Velocity Radio.